right, Watch Run Radio. We are live tonight, June 25th. Hopefully in America, who knows where we are. Check one. Yep. I gave away my other microphone, so. This microphone is the same microphone, but my other microphone, I gave it away, you know. Giveth away what you receiveth. And bottom line is this microphone is the same thing, you know, too hot, right? Website, nextcrusade.com. Going to get Redbeard on the line. And we're going to see how the direction this broadcast goes. We're supposed to have a surprise guest on. Let me see if he's responded. It was kind of a last-minute thing. And I think he's in... he's MIA. So maybe we'll hear from him. He's in California. He might have the time zone messed up. If you have the chat box, you can listen that way. MixLR.com/WatchmenRadio. Let's watch MEN radio. So let me try to get Redbeard on the line, and I'm going to touch on a little bit of a word I feel the Lord has impressed upon me. And notice I say feel. You know, some people speak sometimes first person the Lord, and that's okay too. But, you know, I take everything with a grain of salt sometimes. If I feel the Lord's impressed something upon me, I say I feel he's impressed it upon me. And I believe that this message of repentance to the forefront, with the signs of the times manifesting like never before, okay? The lying signs and wonders, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Just you go there, verses 8 through 11, read it. I would say that's the scripture for the hour, because the ushering in of the lawless one would be accompanied by, and this is in the word, people. And it said it would be accompanied by all power, all wonders, and every wicked deception. Okay? That covers, and you can go to the Greek Strong's on that, and you'll see all is outlined there describing the whole wholeness of everything. I don't have the Greek term in front of me right now, but I did look at it yesterday. So, that is, what does that mean? That means that there's a time given, a space of season of time, where this demonic force will reign in a level of power that he has not reigned in before. And you might say, why? Why is God allowing this? Because it's in Scripture. This is supposed to happen. And you might say, well, is God in control? Yeah, God's in control, because God is the one that breaks the seals. You see? He's the one setting forth the motion of the prophetic timetables. Okay? And when you read about the four horsemen, these are all of the Lord. This is the end time scenario right before your eyes. And I know some don't like it. What do you want me to do about it? I'm not the Lord. Okay, Book of Revelations, this is it. We're in a time that we're going to have to watch and pray more than ever, that ye may escape things coming on the earth. That's what it says. That's what it says. So, watch and pray that ye may, escape. Be found worthy in the way of getting ready, real, and right Now, this delusional thing that's being poured. Now, people that are seeing changes in demonic activity, I don't know if CERN has been linked into a quantum computer or whatever. Whatever's going on is irrelevant to me. Okay? It makes no difference. The Word of God, okay, that I've been reading, I still know the Word. So if the enemy changed the text here or there or whatever, or whatever more he's going to change, it's really not going to affect me. Okay? Because I've been studying the Word long enough that I know the Word good enough that I'll sustain. I can look at Scripture, Genesis 3:15. You can open up King James to me now and say, you know, it will bruise thy head. And I'll say, no, it's not what it said. It said, he will wound thy head, and thou will bruise his heel. That's what it used to say. So, you know, you can see how that got watered down, the doping down of the Word. And, you know, others that can't see anything going on point to the people that can see things going on. They're saying they're delusional. And they are actually manifesting in weird fruits. I hate to say it, but a venomous attitude of name-calling, shaming, accusations of insanity being thrown around. Not the Lord. Not the fruit of the Spirit. You know, if they were truly believers, wouldn't they be catering to masses that would need such help and deliverance in this time and hour? But now, they're going the other road, shaming, declaring insanity, you know, mocking, name-calling, like idiot, things of that nature. For those that are unmasking and seeing something, they have to contend with that. So-called, quote-unquote, brethren have been manifesting in venomous attitude towards the others. Now, with that being said, we have to really reflect on that. Because some be tares, wouldn't they be? You know, tares grow along with wheat until they bear fruit. And before the harvest, they put out a fruit, and that's when they're identified. Okay? So as we're approaching the harvest, it would be likely that we would see manifestation of a tare being poison. Look up tare in Scripture. It's a poisonous plant. It's one of the only poisonous grass-like substance in the world, I believe. Let me get Redbeard Jones on. That's his new name. But, you know, getting back to the attitudes, I don't believe that's the Lord, okay? Mock and call names to people that, in their mind, need help. I wouldn't do that to somebody that needs help. Redbeard.
What's going on, man?
Did Mandela change your beard to blue?
It's brown today.
All right, so, yeah, because you're dyeing it. Probably using it just for men. Getting back to what I'm trying to say here is that the attitudes of those that don't listen. This is the problem that I have with this entire scenario, is that the things that are changing, and this might be offensive to some that aren't seeing anything, and I'm sorry, but it appears to me that the things that are changing are not to the better. They're changing to idiocy. In the reflection of, just let me give you a couple examples. Okay. Slogans that have just changed to being stupid. Like, nobody doesn't like Sara Lee. You know, that slogan to me sounds dumb. Because I remember it, nobody does it like Sara Lee. Okay, so now it's two negatives. The sentence looks dumb to me. I'm sorry, but it just doesn't look right. I just can't see it. I don't get it. I mean, you know, you might have reality on your side that you could point to something in reality, but I still have common sense on my side that I'm not going to yield to something so stupid. Like the one scripture of the wolf and the lamb lying down together in Isaiah 11:6. Okay, when the wolf, not that wolves are a bad thing, I think wolf's a beautiful animal, but in an analogy context, in scripture, prophetically, we're spiritual people. We look at scripture in context together. And when we boil it down, we know that Christ, one of the last things he said is, "Behold, I send you as lambs before wolves." He was giving a warning of the wolf, even in his last hour. So, with that being said, to see that when we know all the warnings of the term to represent darkness, to represent evil, to represent Satan and his kingdom, it's kind of stupid to me too. God, forgive me. But I liked the lion and the lamb because I used to dwell on that revelation of Judah and Messiah and the lamb. And it had reflections on the millennial reign. And, you know, to me, I'm sorry, but that just looks dumb to me now. Okay? What I remember was not dumb. Now, you know, the King James, beautifully written Bible, that's all I read. Okay? And now I look at it and I see stuff. You know, behold, in that day when one be upon his house top, do not come down and get the stuff. And I'm saying, that sounds stupid too. I like the word before, possessions. I liked it better. It seemed better to me. Why do I got to yield to this stupid stuff? I don't want to. I liked it better the normal way. So again, reality might be on your side, but common sense is on mine. And I'll tell you right now, other verses.
Well, how about the foolish man building his house upon the earth?
You just stole my thunder there. Why'd you do that?
I didn't know you were
I was just going to that. You're just trying to do that. You're always trying to do that. I don't even know if you're you. But anyway, you know, now you go to Luke 6:49. And you look at Luke 6, 40, verse 49, and you're like, well, wait a minute. You know, you can build a foundation on the earth. You can. I talked to an architect today. You can. You can set a foundation in the earth. Okay? Now it says, it'd be likened on one that, you know, built his house upon the earth. It never said that. It used to say on the sand. Okay? So one was the rock, one was the sand. So that, to me, is dumb there. I'm sorry. And what I remember was smarter than yours. It was just smarter than yours. Okay? And Ecclesiastes 3:11. What the heck happened there? It used to say he sets eternity in their hearts. It's beautiful. People use it at funerals. It was just a poetic, beautiful thing. And now it sets world in his heart. I mean, this is demonic, if you ask me. I'm not going to settle for that. Okay, you go to Genesis 3:15. It will bruise thy head. I never said it. Okay, it was he. He will wound thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. I used to always think about the head wound that Christ would deliver. Okay, so this dumbing down, this watering down, I'm not going to settle for it. And why has the NIV got all the good words now? You go over to NIV, and I'm like, he stole all my words out of my King James. You go, you got wineskins in there. You got everything in there. You go to Matthew 9:17. You can, I talk to people, make wine. You can put, just like you can build on the earth a foundation for a house. You can, especially here in Long Island, New York, is all clay and potato fields.
I'm a carpenter. I'm 100% tell you, you can build on the earth.
Okay, just like you could do that. I talk to winemakers. You can put old new wine in old bottles. and they will not break. So that's dumb. Okay? Now, you could not put new wine into old wineskins because the fermenting phase process brought in a carbonation that stretched the skin, and then if you would use it again, you would be in danger of breaking. There was a revelation there, wasn't it? But now, it's been dumbed and dulled down. And you want me to yield to that? You want me to say, oh, okay, I've always been mistaken. I'll just accept all this stupid stuff. I'm not going to do it. I can't do it because it's just not going to work. Okay? All these verses, whatever's going on, and not just scripture, I could go on and on and on about that, of things I'm not just so happy about, okay, including pick up thy couch, that was never there, it was pick up thy bed, come on, Exodus, it never said strength of a unicorn, it used to say strength of a wild ox, and now you go to NIV, which I hate, and I've always hated. My whole life, I've hated the NIV. Now I go to the NIV and it says, wild ox there in Exodus. And then I go to my King James, strength of a unicorn popped up. I'm not going to receive it. I don't want it. So I just scratch it out and I put wild ox back in. So with that being said, I want to reflect on the fact that things have become stupid. Okay? Just stupid stuff. Like even Forrest Gump saying, you know, Mama always said life was a box of chocolate. How is that counsel to Forrest? That doesn't make it. That means in a singular context, she was talking about her own life, and it had nothing to do with passing down any knowledge to him whatsoever. It was always, Mama always said life is like a box of chocolate. So that's become dumb. It's just like a dumb thing. So that's why I know it can't be, you know, the Lord. The Lord wouldn't make stuff so stupid. It has to be some type of demonic power. Now, getting back to those that just say, it's always been that way. It's always been that way. It's always been that way. I don't know what the hell's going on with you. But thank God I'm able to see this. Because if you think it's always been that way, I don't know what the hell, where you been. Okay? Because it don't look normal to me. Okay? And it's just, listen, there's a lot going on right now. And I will say this. We need to watch and pray. But I want to share a couple of verses. Because I believe that in this hour, we have to shed off every complete pet sin whatsoever. It's got to go. Got to go. Now, in Luke 12, verse 5, I want to touch on this. Because somebody somewhere out there tonight, and all of us and everybody and people you know, this has to be the message, because the preaching of repentance always followed the return of Messiah. John the Baptist, the spirit of Elijah rested upon him, and that preaching of repentance was the paving of the landing strip of the Lord. That's how it went. Preaching the repentance in a real way. Now, God is love. He loves you. But I'm telling you, the grace mat is getting rolled up. There's not much to... God is... Listen. The Lord is returning for a bride without a spot and blemish. Okay? Spot, blemish. Just think about that. So, this is the hour. Get rid of every spot and blemish. As you see these crazy signs going on, and then you have the, oh, he's been that way, oh, he's been that way. You got those people, they're annoying. You know, what do we do about them? So, you know, there's a whole weird stuff going on. And how are we ever going to relate to, oh, he's been that way, when we look at the stuff as so stupid? And it's become so stupid. And then we're like, well, you know, how are we ever going to accept that? I think the Lord has done this on purpose, because now we're like, well, you're at a crossroad. You could just say, oh, okay, I'll just be dumb and accept the dumbness of this now. But what I remember was superior. But maybe I was mistaken, and the superior thing I remembered was not true. But the dumb thing is, and I'm sorry, and put your hands up and just go along with it. Hey, listen, the second you begin to doubt the Word of God, you're doomed. You're doomed. Whatever the Lord has sown and impressed upon you, the Holy Spirit will bring to remembrance. Somebody recently said to me, your memory is shot and you need to just trust whatever's put before you, the Word of God. I'm like, wait a minute. What do you mean anything that's put before me? The Word of God. Whatever the Word is, what, you throw the Bible at me and that's it? What happens if something changed in there? Or something? What I've read before means nothing? All the studying I've done means nothing? All the word references and cross-references I've done means nothing? All the reading I've done for years and years and years means nothing? I don't have any memory? I just got to accept whatever you're throwing at my way? What about John 14, verse 26, where it says the Holy Ghost will bring to remembrance every word? What about that? What about that? What, did we just throw out that work of the Holy Spirit? What do you think they were carrying around little Gideon's Bibles years ago in the epistles? Or were they really carrying around 15-foot Isaiah scrolls and all these scrolls? They knew the Word of God. They studied the Word of God. And it was impressed upon their being. That's the reality of it. So I will tell you that this hour we're in is a time of shedding off every iniquitous transgression, every spot and blemish. Luke 12, verse 5. But I forewarn you whom ye shall fear. Now this is the problem. Jimmy will agree. The fear of God is the one thing the enemy has been attacking over the years. The hyper-grace message, okay, we've been against for years. There's other people, they have OSIS people on ours. Everybody loves the Lord. No, the OSIS message is deadly. Once saved, always saved. Because now we see this Antichrist movement, the Word of God changing, whatever it might would be happening, that people might say, hey, we can receive the mark because we're eternally secured. Boom, damnation. Tricked right along into it. So you can see how the eternal security and hyper grace message can be very dangerous. So I will tell you here in Luke, but I forewarn you whom you shall fear. Fear him which after he killed you had the power to cast you into hell. Fear him. Okay? Incidentally, that was changed to a lowercase h there. See what I'm saying? It never used to be a low. It used to be an uppercase. Now, in 1 Samuel 2, you might say, well, the Lord kills. Yeah, well, Jesus just said he killed there. He says, after he killed you. You know, God don't, would he kill? Would he kill anybody? That doesn't sound like the Lord. No, it doesn't sound like the Lord you've been learning about. Because you've been in a cake, big, flim, flam, flippy, floppy teaching. That's why. And you better get into the fear of God. Because I'm telling you right now, when that sky cracks and the angels of God are returning and some are going to be taken, some cast in the lake of fire, you're either going to have the mark of God on you or you're going down. That's that simple. There's no middle of the road here from this point. We are moving past that. And I'm telling you, 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 6, starts, you know, it might even be the first verse of chapter 2. It says, the Lord killeth. Right? Make it alive. That was the prophecy of Hannah, wasn't it, Jimmy?
Absolutely.
Okay. The Lord killeth. So, yeah. When Jesus said there in Luke 12, after he kills you, cast you in hell. Fear him. Now, you should, you know, why would he cast you in hell? Because you did not follow his commandments. You did not pursue to shed off the evil in your life. And because of that, time was up and you went down. Real simple. Now, I want to touch on Romans 11. It says, boast not against the branches, but if thou boast, thou bearest not the root, but the root thee, that thou wilt say then, the branches were broken off that I might be grafted in. This is an analogy that Paul was given about because there was unbelief in the Jewish tribes. That unbelief opened the door to the Gentiles. Gentiles came in and got grafted into the true vine. This is the analogy that he's using. But I want to point out something here. That will say the branches were broken off that I might be grafted in. Well, because of unbelief, there it is. They were broken off, and thou standest by faith. Be not high-minded, but fear. Phobos. And people say, well, yeah, God doesn't want us to fear. That's not the Lord. You know, that's the cake bake message, right? That's the cake bake message. That's what they teach. That's what they're spewing.
What do they do with the scripture that says the whole duty of man is to fear God and keep his commandments?
Well, they're going to be fearing God very soon. Trust me. Okay? Because he's not returning as a lamb this time. He's returning as a lion. And that's why that scripture in Isaiah 11:6 is so important. But I will tell you this. It says to fear that you also could be cut off here. Now, people say, well, you're making me scared. Good. You should be. You should be walking out your salvation with fear and trembling. That's what the word says. Are you? Probably not, because of the cake bake messages that are going on today. Now, I tell you this. For if, in verse 21 of Romans 11, for if God spared not the natural branches, take heed, lest he also not spare you. Okay? This is pretty elementary to understand what he's saying here. Behold, this is, behold means to take note, to realize. Behold, therefore, the goodness and the severity of God. On them which fell, severity, but towards thee, goodness. Now here it is. If, we got that if word. If, sometimes, can throw you a loop, doesn't it? Right? If. See, here we go. Let me read it again. Let me read it again. Behold, therefore, the goodness and the severity of God. What's that mean? There's two sides of God, right? There's a good side, and there's a bad side that you don't want to be on. Now, behold then, he says, take note. Therefore, the goodness and severity of God, of them which fell, severity, but toward you, goodness, if thou continue in his goodness. Otherwise, thou also shall be cut off. Period. Now just think about that. If you remain in his goodness, how could you fall out of his goodness? Can you just manifest in Galatians 5:19-21? How about those fruits? Just start spewing those fruits. You think you're going to make it? Because of unbelief, they were cut off. How can you manifest in unbelief in this hour? By not just believing the word of God. By not believing Galatians 5:19-21. You can be in unbelief to that. You can read Galatians 5:19-21. It says, if you do these things, you will not inherit the kingdom of God. You can read it. You can read all the works of the flesh there. And you cannot believe it. You could just not believe it. I am sealed by the earnest of the Spirit, and there's nothing going to separate me. As you smoke your weed bag and pump down the juice, okay, you're going down. All the fornication, all the rebellion, witchcraft, sin, all the wickedness and lusts and masturbations and greed, all the frenzies of this flesh are going to take you down, and you're not going to make it. It's that simple. Now, why are we covering a message like this today, something we haven't preached in so long on Watchman Radio, probably since 2006? It's probably because the Lord is impressing it upon me to bring forth these old messages that we used to preach here. And people used to rebuke me back then. I used to get phone calls all the time. You know, if you keep preaching repentance, you're not going to have any listeners. That's what they used to tell me. And that might be so. But does it really matter anymore? I mean, this we are seeing a roundup, folks. We are seeing the end time platform being set right before you. You're going to see laws manipulated and changed. Now, my hopes and prayers are that Trump is elected and there's a pushback and there's a stabilization for a revival like in the realms of Mount Carmel was before the rain was released 3.5 years into the famine. I'm hoping for a Mount Carmel type of revival if we're in the days of Elijah, right? So I believe it. I'm standing in faith for it. And I believe God can do it. Psalms 34, verse 7. Now, this is the important part. You know, we talked about fear earlier. And people say, well, you're impressing fear upon me. It's evil. We're talking about the fear of the Lord. We're not talking about phobos of things and insects and man. We're talking about an actual reverence of understanding how holy God is. And where your sin is going to set you. That's what we're talking about here. Now, Psalms 34, verse 7, there is spiritual warfare involved when you fear the Lord. Did you know that?
Absolutely.
Did you know that? That you can, just fearing the Lord, just getting on your knees and say, Lord, I fear the separation of you. I want to be with you for eternity. I don't want nothing to separate me from you. And whatever in my life I wanted to be brought out and broken off, all the cords and strings and cords of sin off my life today, I don't want it. And when you enter into this revelation, there in Psalms 34, verse 7, is spiritual warfare involved in that statement. I'll show it to you. It says, the angel of the Lord encamps around them that fear him and delivers them. Let me read that again. The angel of the Lord encamps around them that fear the Lord and delivers them. So when you enter into this revelation and understanding how real the kindness and severity is, and we get out of the cake, bake, greasy grace message, and you throw that into the garbage can, and you realize that without a spot and blemish really means without a spot and blemish. When you get that, that's a condemning message. You know, you're not preaching grace. Yeah, we are preaching grace. We're saying now's the time. This is grace. Let's get rid of it. God loves you. And he's going to break these things off your life. But understand that the deliverance is in your holy fear of the Lord when you actually get the revelation in your spirit man. Very important. Very important. And when you read Isaiah and you see how he was a man of unclean lips, that's the spirit to have. That's the spirit to have that revelation. And I was purged at that moment when he went into the confession and the realization that coal was taken from the altar of the Lord to burn that iniquity out. But it took the acknowledgement, folks. That's what I'm talking about here. Now, the spiritual warfare in Psalms 34, verse 7 is right there. The angel of the Lord encamps around them that fear him and delivers them. So there's deliverance involved with fearing the Lord. Do you believe it? Do you believe it? Because that's what it says. Jimmy, what are you playing, pool?
No. I'm okay. Here listening to you.
Okay. Anyway, we need to get this into our spirit, man. Genesis 35, I was going to go there, but I'm running out of time because I want Jimmy to take the... We got another half hour here. I wanted to go over some of the other verses, that things that are annoying me. But Genesis 35 is... You're playing pool, man.
No, I'm not.
What are you banging over there?
I've set the phone down.
Can you please just stop it? I mean...
Gotcha.
God help him. And we're broadcasting to 11,000 people right now, and he's banging around a pool table cue over there. Genesis 35, it says, "And God said unto Jacob, Arise and go up to Bethel, and dwell there, and make there an altar unto to me, the Lord, where I have appeared to you, and that fled us from Esau." This is a place of revelation for Jacob, because he was fearing man here instead of the Lord. And he was delivered from that at Bethel. He was delivered from that fear of man and brought into a revelation of Jacob's ladder, of God being with him through these situations. And that's why the Lord says here, where I appear, he was reminding him, where I appeared unto you, in Genesis 35, verse 1. But in verse 2, this brought in a revelation to Jacob. When the Lord spoke this to him, his spirit was illuminated to a point in his past where he had the great deliverance. And I believe that's what the Lord wants to do with us today. Is he's saying, come back to Bethel. You know, that place where I met you, that place where I took you out of a position, that place where he reached in, and that revelation to Jacob here, if you go to verse 2, it gripped him. It gripped him strong. And he was in an abominable state when you get to Genesis 35. He was not living. His house was all messed up. And I'm going to read to you what he did. Because when God said, come back to Bethel, that was saying, come back to that place. And this is where he said, you know what? I'm putting all this other stuff off, man. It's time. I let it straggle too long. So let me read verse 2. It says, after God said, come back to Bethel, that place where I've delivered you from the fear of your brother Esau. Verse 2. Then Jacob said unto his household. he said, household? And all that were with him. Others that were with him. Just think about it. All these people, the entire household, all the workers, all the shepherds, all the people that were with him. He had a meeting. He said, put away every strange god that were among you, and be clean and change your garment. There's a deep revelation here. I hope you're seeing it. So, this calling back to Bethel, I believe that oak tree where he buried all the abominable things that they were taking out of the ear and all the demon gods they were carrying around. It says that Jacob in verse 4 buried them under an oak tree at Shechem. Now, this was a purification that took place, but it took the preaching of Jacob. It took the preaching of Jacob, which heard from the Lord. It took the preaching of a man that had a revelation of who God was. A respected man of God, Jacob. It took his preaching to bring this little revival about. And the message was, put away all the filth. And let's bury it. So I believe this oak tree represents the cross. putting all the abominable things under the oak tree. Now, it was renamed El Bethel, a double portion. There was a double portion poured out on Jacob's household after that. And then it says the fear of God went around to all his enemies. He actually began to have that deliverance we talked about in Psalms 34. The angel Lord, remember what we were saying, camps around those that fear him, fears the Lord. So when you read Genesis 35, it says that the fear of God went about to all Jacob's enemies. That was deliverance power. When your enemies are in terror, when you began to walk holy, when you began to shed off little things and pet sins here and this and that, things you've been doing, and you've been putting the world away, the fear of God will go out on your enemies. So when I said there's spiritual warfare and fear of the Lord, I'm talking about this revelation that Jacob had. And he was doing this because he feared the Lord more than he feared Jacob at that point in his life. I mean, Esau. Because that's where he was delivered of that fear of his brother Esau, who threatened to kill him. 2 Peter chapter 2. I'm going to read here, and then Jimmy's going to touch on something. But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privily shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that brought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. Verse 2. And many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. And through covetousness shall they with fiend words make merchandise of you, whose judgment now of long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not. Now here it is. For if God spared not the angels that sin, but cast them down to hell and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved unto the judgment, and spared not the old world, but only saved Noah and the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the whole earth. This is talking about God didn't even spare angels that sinned. And we touched on early in Romans 11 about the revelation of the branches and the acknowledging of how fragile that is through unbelief to be cut off. I'm saying in this hour, folks, make your resolution with the Lord stronger. Make your commitment to the Lord stronger. Make your prayer life stronger. Start shedding away and evangelizing. Very important, you know, shedding away pet sins, because the shaking is beginning now. And evangelizing is also very powerful. Start witnessing the gospel. Because, very important, as I touched on in Psalms 34, that it's spiritual warfare when you fear the Lord. It's also spiritual warfare to witness the gospel. What do you mean? I don't understand it. Because it says when you confess the Lord Jesus among men, that Lord Jesus confessed your name to the Father's angels. So what's that mean? That sounds like a good thing. So that it sounds to me like the angels be directed into your path. Is that what it means, Jimmy?
Well, I believe that's exactly what it means. I think it's a supernatural protection.
So witnessing the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ is also a form of spiritual warfare in a way.
Well, absolutely. When we declare the word of the Lord to people, we are in fact prophesying. When we just read what he has put on the page, we are prophesying his word into their life.
Amen.
And when we do that, you cannot speak his word, which is truth. His word will not return to him void. Whenever you speak that truth into their life, supernaturally, angels come and they penetrate that person's spirit, their heart, their mind, their soul. And whether they choose to accept it or reject it, that's on them.
Mm.
that word is not returning void to the Father.
Amen. Amen. And, you know, and also the way you minister the gospel is important. Because I was a street evangelist for many years, and I plan to get back out on the street. But for first couple of years, I was not a very good street evangelist. And Jimmy, you were out on the street with me many times. I was more of a fire and brimstone preacher, right, Jimmy?
Well, a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, I was just all out. I was just carrying signs around and bullhorns. You know, Jimmy will tell you. And I used to set up down in Union Square Park, all over. I'd go down in St. Mark's at night, down in the East Village. You know, I was all over the place. But my message was a little weird. You know, it was just really a hellfire message. God eventually brought me out of that and brought me into a revelation of preaching the cross in a way where the message of love and hope is in the message of the cross. And I left the fire and brimstone kind of at the end of that. So I've seen, and I've made that mistake myself, is going out right, boom, boom, hell. And I'm saying, in the beginning, try to work the cross and the love of the God so loved the world into the beginning of your witness, and you'll have more fruit. Because don't make the mistake I did, and I spent a lot of time really thinking I was suffering for righteousness, people throwing beer bottles at me and stuff. And I'm like, praise God, you know, and I'd be getting attacked. And I'm like, it's really, when later on I was thinking about it, just the way I was ministering. So I altered my message to reflect the love of the cross, and I kept the hell message in there. But I had much more converts. I'm talking, some nights I'd go out at 20, 30 converts. I think one night we had 60 converts to Christ. So the fruit increased dramatically. Also prayer. I would always pray before we went out over the tracks and everything. And we had a lot more fruit from setting the ground that way. Did it always work out that way? No. A lot of times you got shut down by the police and stuff. But
You mentioned something earlier about it being the last days, and now is the time to get ready. Scripture says that, this is Yeshua, Jesus speaking. He said, I will not return until my people cry, Baruch Haba V'Shem Adonai, in Hebrew, which is, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Now, when he comes again, we have to understand how he is coming. He is coming as the Lion of the tribe of Judah,
amen,
both to judge and to make war. We're going to have to say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, when he's coming to both judge and make war. We are going to be so sick of sin, so sick of this vileness of this earth, of things being changed that we knew our whole life, all of this evilness, this torturous thing, that we are going to be praying for him to come, that we're praying for him to come and judge this world, to set things right so we can once again worship him in the spirit of truth.
Mm.
I mean, when everything around us is being changed, when you wake up in the morning and you don't even know, you know, what else is going to be changed when you go read your scriptures that day? Most people don't even read their scriptures every day. I mean, that's a shame right there.
Yeah.
But witnessing, I mean, how do you learn how to witness the word? You have to get in the word. You have to study the word. You can't go out on the street. A bunch of these sinners will rip you to pieces with scripture if you don't know the word. We're telling you, these are men and women that have known the word, that have been in the trenches, have been in the fight, have shed blood and tears and sweat preaching the gospel, that are standing up and saying, something is not right. Wake up.
Mm.
This is the watchman on the wall blowing the trumpet, and if you're killed in this and you go down without a fight after the watchman has sounded the trumpet, then it's all on you.
Yeah.
We have to wake up, people. there is no more time. There is no more time for fun and games. There's no more time to be in and out. There's no more time for any of that junk. You know, forget about that girlfriend. Forget about that boyfriend that keeps leading you back and forth into sin. Get away from that stuff. Get it out of your life. Get right with the Father. And if he wants somebody in your life, he'll bring them. I mean, it's like the old army saying, you know, if the army wanted me to have a wife, they'd have issued me one. If the Father wants me to have a wife, he'll issue you one.
Yeah.
Quit worrying about that kind of stuff. Get focused on the Father.
Well, wherever you came from, listen, I remember us on the, listen, we might even be in a new arm of the Milky Way, okay? I seem to remember us on the outer arm of Sagittarius. Now we're in the inner Orion belt. Orion means fool, by the way. It means fool. It's related to Nimrod. So we could be in a fool world, for all I know. But, Jimmy, your beard did not grow wherever you came from. So I thought maybe that would be the one thing that would change. Because I noticed Hitler's mustache is thicker now. When I looked at his pictures, he's got a big puffy mustache. But your beard has stayed the same. That's how I know it's you. That's like the ultimate mark right there.
Just got beard envy, man. That's all I can say.
So, saying this to say this, folks, whatever's going on, if they've tapped into the CERN project and opened up this portal that Stephen Hawking warned them not to do, if they have tapped in the quantum computer and whatever they're manipulating, it's irrelevant. Because the Lord is only allowing them a season of time to screw around. And they're going to hell. They're going to be cast into the lake of fire. Their end is not really good. It's terrible. And for those not seeing anything, accusing us of being insane and everything, I don't know what's going on with you. I mean, I kind of feel bad that the Bible, these verses that you think are real, are kind of weird. I mean, they just don't look really powerful. I mean, bottles and stuff and unicorn, the power of a unicorn. You know, what the heck is that?
I was just telling a brother today, you know, when did I wake up in the land of the retards? I mean, yeah, I mean, Scripture is stupid now. I mean,
Whoa.
I've made wine.
You mean the KJV, the parts of the KJV?
Well, yeah, absolutely. I'm not throwing it out as a whole.
Yeah, you got to be careful now because you're amongst wolves.
Oh yeah.
But
yeah, I mean, when did we wake up in a world where you can't put new wine into old bottles? I make wine. I've made it for 15 years. I use the same bottles all the time.
You just said scriptures, and now you're talking about being a wine bibber. That's what I need, man. I'm trying to preach a message of repentance here. Now, listen. The bottom line is this. Whatever's going on, it's irrelevant. But I'll tell you now that there's probably a great deception coming. Okay? And you could be baited along and fished along in it. Whether it has to do with an eternal security message and the mark of the beast being issued, I don't know. But at this point, I believe the Lord is impressing upon us to get ready, to get real, and to get 100% right in this hour. That's the word. That's the word we're broadcasting live tonight on. And I'm telling you, we're going to pursue along these lines of preaching holiness, and also have mass prayers of deliverance, like we used to do, to bring that in. Because I believe as the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord's going to raise a standard. So we're going to see more power flow from his kingdom. Amen? Because those that know their God will do great exploits in the season and the time of the Lawless One. We're not going to be completely defeated. Is he going to have some power? Yeah, it says in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 8 through 11. It says that it'll be accompanied in with all power, with all lying signs and wonders, and every wicked deception. And guess what? That's what's going on. That's
absolutely
exactly what's going on. Like somebody said, the word of God can't be changed. That's impossible. The paper cannot be changed. I'm telling you. And I'm like, wait a minute. The word of God in my heart ain't being changed. You can change that paper all day long. I know what the word said. That's not going to be changed. I mean, look at Jeremiah 36 when the king kept burning the scroll five times. He just kept lighting it on fire and destroying the scroll that Jeremiah wrote up the word of God. Jeremiah knew the word and just rewrote it again. So the word was touched, but it was rewritten because he knew it in his heart. Now, saying this to say this, okay, is that in this hour, we got to really depend on the Holy Ghost. I'm talking real strong relationship with the Holy Spirit. Amen? Because he is our counselor, our guide, and he brings to remembrance every word. That's one of his works, is to bring remembrance of the word to us. Amen? So we can be led by the Holy Ghost, or we can be led by noodleheads. We got to be really focused on our relationship with the Lord in this hour. Do you receive that?
Amen. Scripture says, he that abides in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the wings of his covering. That's where we need to be. We need to be in that secret place of the Most High, Rich. If we're not, then our realities might be changed. You might fall into the delusion, you know, that you can build a house upon the sand. I mean,
well, that's another problem, you know. I mean, and again, somebody said in Daniel, it says that the Antichrist would attempt to change times. That it doesn't say attempt there, okay? It says the word there in the Hebrew means he will bear in mind, he will remember, he will be illuminated to the fact when the devil has entered into him to do these things. Just like Judas remembered to do certain things when the devil entered into him. That's what it means there. It means to bear in mind, not to attempt to change times and laws, to bear in mind, to remember how that he's going to do it. So we're seeing some crazy manifestations. With that being said, watch your radio, getting ready to burn rubber out of here. We'll be back next week by the grace of God. Toll-free number, 877-734-6327. And the Lord loves you, we love you, and Redbeard loves you. Amen?
Amen.
Good night, folks.
Shalom.
Peace.